I feel so gross after I hear this song. There's just a gross quality to it. It's a download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. Tonight, we continue our Thursday night segment in honor of one of the best pastimes in film, identifying the bad ones. That's right. We all love the bad movies, not just the ones that set out to be bad, like parody movies. No, we love the ones that are made in earnest, setting out to be the best film in the history of cinema. And instead, we get Face-Off. The segment is in conjunction with the series that came from the Neo-Futurarium, the long-running summer series that presents stage readings of the best worst movies of all time. This year, it's the 12th anniversary, so it came from the Neo-Futurarium, Dawn of the Neo-Futurarium. It's running through July 15th, Saturdays at 7:30. I have to ask about Cage. We're going to do that. And, of course, Face Off, which is coming up. We call this segment Justify Your Love. You call up and text your favorite bad movie and justify why it's so bad. And the best bad movie choice will get you a prize. Tonight, a pizza. Come on. So you know it's a bad movie? This, and this is why, and you could have a pizza. Let's have some fun. In studio with me tonight, two of the curators, creator Rachel Claff and Dina Marie Walters. Dina, good to see you.
Good to see you, too. It's been a while. Thank
you so much. Yeah, and you are bringing Face Off to the stage, so I'm very excited about this.
I am. All right. Yes.
All right. Well, Rachel, good to see you.
You, too.
All right. So we've had some fun with this series, and just to sort of explain the rules right at the top.
Right.
So we know what the sort of boundaries or qualifications are for the game.
Yes. So we've seen a lot of bad movies hit our desk. And usually what we end up looking for and what we're looking for tonight are movies, as Justin said, movies that took themselves dead serious at the time. They really thought this was a good idea. Nothing self-consciously bad. Another thing it needs to have is this is more specific to the festival, but it can be specific to this contest, really terrible script. Just awful. It can be as pretty as you want. Explosions,
as you
beautiful
mentioned before,
cinematography.
The flaw. Everyone has one of these movies have a flaw.
Yeah, there's
right?
usually a central problem that just makes the whole thing make no sense. Also, it has to be rewatchable. It can't just be so bad you just want to pretend you never saw it, burn the
VHS tape.
It's got to
stick around.
Yeah, it's got to stick around. And finally, it has to be objectively bad. You can't just be like, I hate that. Because as Jason Meyer, I think, said the first night, if you hate Anne Hathaway, that doesn't make Princess Diaries a bad film.
Right.
I mean, it could be bad for other reasons, but it can't just be, there's got to be something just essentially to its core rotten.
There you go. 312-981-7200. We already got some texts coming in tonight. Just to refresh everybody's memory, the first week we picked Bad Ronald.
Yes, Bad Ronald.
That movie I want to see so
I still can't wait. And you know, we've already had people directly, at least for me, some of my Facebook friends take direct umbrage with that.
they like
really
the movie.
Like that movie.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Sounds appealing.
Yeah.
And then last week, another movie, Rabbit Test, a late 70s Billy Crystal vehicle in which he becomes pregnant.
Yes.
And it's supposed to be a comedy, but it really doesn't play as a comedy. Mm-hmm. It really is. There's like a lot of moments in there where there's no laughs whatsoever.
Yep.
That one last week. So Rabbit Test and Bad Ronald.
And Bad Ronald.
Top two picks.
As someone said
week.
About Rabbit Test, it had almost the entire cast of Match Game in the movie. Which is a feat in and of itself.
Oh, already a winner. All right, Dina, let's bring you in because you're the movie that you're directing on Saturday, the stage reading that you're bringing in.
Yes, John Woo's Face Off from 1997, which was just released 20 years ago last week.
Oh, well, congratulations to them.
Right. Happy anniversary.
Now, this is the classic. This is what I love about this because it's a late night. It's a 90s movie, which, you know, we get a lot of set, like either giant rabbits in the 50s or we get 70s movies, but I like the idea that
was
a late 90s.
Mm-hmm. Also, peak Travolta, peak Cage.
Mm-hmm.
You can't get more.
If you miss this movie, I mean, it literally is, I'm going to take your face off and I'm going to put another face on. So the actors are playing with
look, it's just science.
Aesthetics. Yeah, of course, it's just science.
Yeah,
right?
It's all totally believable science.
Highly credible.
How easy is it to put this one on stage?
I want to say it's been challenging only in the most fun ways, and that's insofar as sort of walking through the action sequences. But I think we found some ways to really put a lot of variety into how we I bought a pair of kids tugboats for the bath toys. I bought bath toys for the boat chase sequence.
So. Okay, good.
Just as a little
the boat chase sequence. Yeah, forgot about that.
We should mention that these are staged readings, and we do it on a shoestring budget.
Right,
so
of course.
The less money, the better.
Which is it has to be that way. If there was actual budget, you'd ruin it.
Yeah,
if well,
you'd
no
almost
money,
be
it,
making
that needs
the,
to
the
be
movie.
The yeah, like you should flaunt a bunch of cash in front of the director's face and say, but you can't have it. You can't have it. You have to go with zero. I don't remember much about Face Off, but I have friends who do not put this in the category of worst movie. This is
one of them would be me.
Right. You put it on the DVD. You love this movie.
Look, it's terrible, but I love it.
I 100% agree. I love this movie.
Yeah.
I love it. And Justin, you have to revisit
Why do you love it? What makes this movie?
I remember
I hated it. I was like, this is so dumb.
Did you really?
Yeah, epic. At the time.
It's absolutely epic. It is, I think the AV Club article that you shared the other day, Rachel, said the overacting Olympics.
Yeah. It is over the top bonkers. Not 1 second of it is not just scenery is being gnawed upon at all times. There's not one person except maybe Margaret Cho who is not going ham in this movie.
Margaret Cho is remarkably understated in this film. I mean, she's...
she's the normal one.
She is the only normal person in this movie.
Well, all I remember is, the idea that Travolta and Cage, one of one's the bad guy. Travolta's the bad guy?
Well,
Cage is the bad guy. See, that's what I mean. Like, I'm like, they're all in black, and they're gonna change their faces off. I'm like, and the poster.
Mm-hmm.
That's the other great thing about it is that there is some credible acting going on with the two of them imitating each other. However, at a certain point, it becomes obvious that doing that just means out crazying the other. It becomes no delineation between. They're just both going nuts.
It's true. In fact, I would say I've been watching it a lot lately. And Nicolas Cage is so good in this movie. He's excellent.
Yeah, he really is.
He's really, really good. And he's really the star of this film. I feel like Travolta kind of takes a little bit of a backseat to him. Travolta's just really over the top trying to be Cage. You can't out-cage Cage.
You can't out-cage the cage, man.
You can't out-cage the cage.
Here's the thing, too, also, and I don't know if Dina mentioned this, but we are doing this with a bit of a twist.
Uh-oh.
Yes, that's true. That's true.
Here's the big reveal.
Okay, I'm ready.
It's completely gender-swapped.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So you had to add that in there, right? It's a gender swap face-off.
Well, it's rooted entirely in my selfish need to play Nicolas Cage. That's all. And so I felt like I had to justify.
It's perfectly reasonable.
So you're playing Nick Cage, okay?
I
mean, do you when you it's stage reading, but I mean, you got to bring some Cage to it. I mean,
I'm bringing. Yeah.
She
Cage.
Has a little dossier. It's the cutest thing I've ever heard.
So what? I mean, what do you have to do to get into a Nick Cage character?
Oh man, just really look deep inside and find your inner crazy, is all I have to say.
I would imagine there's a lot of eye widening and grimacing that has to go on.
And
limber up your face.
I have little eyes. I mean, I have tiny eyes. So I know at some point I'm going to have to physically open my eyes bigger than they can open to meet the Cage
quota
level.
It's a lot of practice. You get a lot of rehearsal. Dina Marie Walters, she is she's directing. She's also Nicolas Cage in Face Off, which will be on Saturday at the Neo Futurarium up at Foster and Ashland for the dawn of the Neo-Futurarium stage reading. So the worst plays of all, or worst movies of all time. Rachel Klaff, the creator of the series. All right. 312-981-7200. That's the number. You can text in or you can call. You have to call. It's called Justify Your Love for the Worst Movies of All Time. Give us what it is and tell us why. You can't just text in the name of a movie.
People have been setting the bar pretty high, I have to say.
They have. And people have Download Nation is coming through on this. And there is pizza on the line, folks. 312-981-7200. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Stay with us. That's right. We're justifying your love for the worst bad movies of all time. the best worst, I should say. 312-981-7200. Rachel Claff and Dina Marie Walters in studio tonight. They are part of the It Came from the Neo-Futurarium, Dawn of the Neo-Futurarium, the series, the summer series that's running through July 15th, Saturdays at 7:30, presenting stage readings of the best worst movies of all time, right?
Yes.
Face-Off is this Saturday, which must see.
Must see.
All right, let's go to the text. We got some people on the line as well, but let's get going. 708 starts us off with Ghost Dad.
Oh man.
Ghost Dad. Bill Ghost Cosby Dad. Joint.
Yeah, so he really tried to bury this film.
He correct? Did. For good reason.
Yeah.
He was a star and he didn't want to come out.
I think it was really panned universally, was it not?
It was.
Yeah.
Yes, it was.
It's one of those ones where you can't, if you go on like Amazon, the DVD cost $525 and you're like, what?
Why did, I mean.
I don't even think I ever made it to DVD.
Maybe the VHS.
You can only ever get it on VHS.
Dina, there's a lot of emotion around this. You seem to be putting she has a lot of tension. Connection. What's going on? Are you all right?
When I was growing up, my sister was obsessed with this movie. She was a little kid, and for some reason, she found the film absolutely delightful, and she would watch it over and over.
Is it really what? I can't remember the movie. I mean, I know it. I've seen the poster and everything, but is it simplistic as the title says? He's a dad who comes back. He's a ghost dad.
I can't remember how he dies. I feel like it was in a car accident or something, and he becomes a ghost, but he doesn't realize that he's dead. So he comes home, and there's just
a lot of physical comedy,
falling through walls and doors and stuff. And then his kids can see him, and I blocked out chunks of it. At some point, my parents hid the movie, and my sister couldn't find it.
Because she watched it, like, over and over?
She just watched it so much that my parents, even my brother and I, were like, we can't do this anymore. Please, make it stop. Make the Ghost Dad stop.
That would be a good one to put on stage, Ghost Dad.
I don't know. I think there's just so much surrounding Cosby's name.
Yeah. Right.
But yeah. you could do a whole Ghost Dad run and do like that and then Jack Frost.
Oh, Jack Frost.
Although he doesn't become a ghost, he becomes inexplicably a snowman.
But it is in the genre of undead dads.
Yeah, right.
Exactly.
That is a genre. I'm surprised you dropped out on iTunes. I'm looking for a movie. What am I looking at?
Undead dads.
There's also a film called Jack Frost that is not the horror film.
Yeah, and that's horrifying.
Snowman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's dreadful.
It's really bad.
The Jack Frost, there's a couple of kids movies, and this is where I will draw the line because there are kids movies that are just bad.
Oh yeah,
like real cartoon. But I have a 9-year-old.
You had to see Boss Baby.
I saw Boss Baby twice.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
And that's one that you're like, is this just, did they just pull this off the shelf like from 8 years ago because Alec Baldwin's kind of big or something? And it just had no reason why it should have been produced.
Yeah.
But I would find that hard to do because it's a cartoon. And my standards are different than my son's standards. He's 9 years old, and he's like, oh, I loved it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is terrible.
Yeah.
Same with the Pets, Secret Life of Pets. I did not like that at all. I'm like, all right.
And one that just came out with, I want to say Kevin Spacey voiced one of the...
Yeah, he
there
did
was
a,
another
yeah, he
one
did a,
that
he
was
did
like,
a
why
baby
is this
or
happening?
A yeah. cat or
a cat
something.
Or
like,
a
yeah.
dog or something, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Just awful. Yeah.
I'm going to say something controversial. I watched The Secret Life of Pets.
Yeah.
My daughter's 2, and she loved it. I actually really liked it a lot.
No, I didn't like it.
My niece liked it.
Kevin Hart, the rabbit, was just, all right, enough.
Yeah.
Enough. Like, I just got to, but that's, you know, you're a new parent. You will figure it out at
I'm
a certain
just
point.
Starting this journey.
When you get to the, what was the movie?
You'll be fine until she wants to watch Secret Life of Pets over and over.
Or the larynx. Yeah. Was it the Dr. Seuss movie with the...
The Lorax.
Lorax. Mm-hmm. The larynx.
The larynx.
That's what I'm saying. And wait till you discover the chipmunks.
No, please.
Oh yeah, once you get there, and that's where Jason Lee went.
Scraping the bottom of the barrel.
That's where he went. That's where you're Jason like, oh, Lee. That's where he went. And that's what you'll get when you're watching that movie. Oh, that's where David Cross is at. And it's like
And all of them. I mean, look, I get that they need to get paid, but oh boy,
right?
Yeah,
that's a whole other category as well.
Yeah, I just needed to get paid.
All right, 773 says staying alive.
Yep.
The worst best movie, a sequel to Saturday Night Fever that replaces the Bee Gees with Frank Stallone.
It's really terrific. Somebody proposed it, and we've got it kind of in our on hold.
What makes
for future.
I would that's not Travolta. That's
oh no, it's Travolta. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Yep. And, yeah. He's the same character. Mm-hmm. Is he not?
It's a sequel to Saturday Night Fever.
Oh, okay, right. Got it. Mm-hmm. I always wondered about that. I'm like, they seem to be the same, but they're not.
Yep.
It's where
he's the same.
He's going to become a professional dancer on Broadway.
Yeah, and it culminates with a performance of a show called Satan's Alley.
Oh, yeah.
It's delightful.
What does that mean?
That's
like,
the name
that's the
of
show
the dance.
He's in?
Yeah. Satan's Alley. Wow. Yeah. It's terrific. And it's got that same Saturday Night Fever thing of, well, okay, there's a lot of dancing and there's John Travolta, but this movie is really sexist and horrible. Just really uncomfortable. Yeah.
All right. Here's one for you. I've never heard this one. I hope. All right. I think they love this one. 847 says, I love Summer Magic, a Disney film from the early 60s.
Ooh.
Saccharine sweet, set in the early 1900s.
Okay.
With Burl Ives singing Ugly Bug Ball. It still makes me feel like everything will turn out right.
Aww, oh, God bless
you. And what's wrong with that?
Nothing.
But not, but then my favorite line of the text is, but not a great movie by any standard.
But not a great movie. Yeah. I wonder if it's animated.
Maybe.
Who knows? We'll have to look it up.
Summer Magic. We'll look that one up.
Summer Magic.
All right, let's keep going here. 773 says, bad movie, Attack of the Killer Tomatoes. We had that one.
We did, and that, I think we figured out, was more of a parody movie.
Yeah, that's right.
It's a little too self-aware.
Yeah.
Yeah, because there was the attack of, there was the rabbit one that we were talking about.
Oh, Night of the Lepus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that weren't self-aware. They were going for an actual thing.
They were, and you know, you could argue that they're sort of Z-grade horror that you're scraping the bottom of. Like, what can we be afraid of this time? I don't know, bunnies. And I think that's what Tomatoes is going for, which is the, well, we've exhausted everything we can possibly be afraid of. Let's do something outlandish and make them killer tomatoes.
So that fits into more of like a tongue-in-cheek parody kind of thing.
I think so,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I figured out that Tomatoes 2, Attack of the Killer Tomatoes 2, is the one that George Clooney is in. He's not in the first one, but he's in the second.
Did not know there was a sequel.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there you go. You learn something new every night here.
There's always a sequel.
I say it on the show too, one of my weak points is that, you know, I come from a generation of people just gobble up movies, and I skipped them. I don't know what it is. I was always like, man, so I hear all these movies and I don't have a frame of reference.
You and me
to them,
both,
but...
man. I missed a huge chunk, not because I missed them, but because my sister was afraid of everything. And we could not go to a movie theater without being yanked out. So I missed a humongous chunk of movies that aren't that scary, but my sister couldn't do it.
I feel like I saw a lot of the movies when I was a kid. It was when I got to like high school, college. And I was just like, I'm going to play my acoustic guitar. I'm going to hang out at the party. We're just going to skip the movies. It's like when everyone started going crazy for Reservoir Dogs. That's where I was like, I got to go.
Yeah. Well, you also had no money in college. And so unless it was playing at your local, you know, cinema with a student discount, you didn't get to see. I went to college in Ohio and we had to go all the way to Cleveland to see Pulp Fiction. And I remember that being an outing, you know. But otherwise, we didn't get to see a lot.
All right, let's try one. Right before we go to break, let's go to Pete. Pete, you're on the line. What do you got for Justify Your Love for the worst movies of
all
time?
I think this could get the Ed Wood Award.
Okay.
It's a thing that starred David Carradine titled The Warrior and the Sorceress.
Oh, I think I know this movie.
Me too.
Yep.
Yeah, the poster gives it all away. I mean, it was when they had the ads in the paper, it was so awful I had to go see it in the theater. David Carradine in a pose where he's like he's about to slice the head off of a big monster serpent that he's strangling in one hand with a sword he's got in the other. From the neck up, it's Carradine. From the neck down, it's Schwarzenegger. And there is a female form laying across at his feet, but it's not the sorceress. I think the sorceress was actually Sophia Braga.
Okay.
This was early. I mean, this was done down in Central America.
On the cheap.
Oh, this was awful.
Oh, man, good stuff.
I mean, everything about it was atrocious. The monsters, you could see, there's a serpent thing that has well, not serpent, like an octopusy thing that has a whole bunch of tentacles that come up out of holes in the floor, and you can see all the nylon lying.
That's when you know it's a good movie.
Uh-huh.
All right, thanks, Pete.
Oh, it's awful. You gotta look at find the poster on IMDb. You'll laugh
the poster
That's
alone.
Always good when you get the posters. Thanks, Pete. All right, 312-981-7200. We are judging the best worst movies of all time. And I think we got some good starting. I got a lot of texts that are just coming in right now, including some calls. We'll take a break, we'll come back, we'll get Roger's news. We'll come back for the second half of Justify Your Love for the best worst movies of all time. Stay with us. For you. Justify my love, my love,
hoping, my love, praying.
I can't
help but
giggle on this dumb song. It makes me think of the Wayne's World parody on Saturday Night Live.
Oh, yeah, with Madonna.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Where
they're all in the bed.
Yeah, there was like the sex book she did. It's a download here on 720 WGN. We are justifying your love for the best worst movies of all time. Rachel Claff and Dina Marie Walters in studio. They are curators. Rachel, the creator of It Came from the Neo-Futurarium, which is stage readings of the best worst movies of all time. You can see them running on Saturday nights through July 15th, 7:30. This week, Dina Marie, her star turn as Nicolas Cage in Face Off.
I should mention that in 2009, she did a tour de force performance as Vanilla Ice in Cool as Ice.
Amazing.
And this is just the natural extension of that.
I did not see it, but just the choice of that movie.
The commitment level alone.
Did you honor the triangles, the weird symmetrical mm-hmm. sets that were in that movie?
There were definitely descriptions of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. They were like, were there descriptions in the script for what it was supposed to be? Because there was this weird thing in that movie where
all of a sudden it's Rebel Without a Cause, and then all of a sudden it becomes Pee Wee's Playhouse.
It became like contemporary art in the middle of this supposed to be this sleepy town that the motorcycle gang stops.
Yeah.
That film is bonkers.
It's beautiful. And we figured out halfway through staging it that the cinematographer is Janusz Kaminski.
What?
Yeah. Who, you know, now is Steven Spielberg's go-to guy. It probably an early Cool as, you know.
But, no, it's probably late.
But it makes a lot of sense,
Didn't Janusz Kaminski do Schindler's List?
Yeah, but that's long after.
Is that long?
Not long after. I'm going to say 94.
Cool as Ice was in 1991.
Yeah.
And I believe Janusz Kaminski was also a Columbia College grad.
No way.
I could be wrong on that, but I know it's one of Spielberg's
guys. You know, so you look at it and go, okay, well, that makes sense. It is an awfully attractive movie to look at.
I mean, Michael Gross as the mean dad is so good. All right, here we go. Tony, you're on the line. What do you want to, what justify your love for the best worst movie of all time?
I'd have to go with Kiss meets the Phantom of the Amusement Park.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We staged it twice, in fact. We did it one year and then with a full band on stage playing the Kiss songs.
It was awesome.
It was beautiful. That movie makes no sense.
And the band was in full Kiss makeup.
Yep.
What makes
about the other one with Gene Simmons and Tom Selleck and Kirstie Alley?
What are you talking about?
Yeah, we're interested. Is Gene Simmons still as a member of KISS, or is this where he's just more of a character actor?
Yeah, he's the main evil character in the entire movie, just as himself. And he thought that was going to launch his career because he was with Tom Selleck, and then Kirstie Alley's his girlfriend. And the other big actress was, I forgot her name. Richard Marx.
I just looked it up. The movie is Runaway.
Runaway.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah,
that sounds awesome.
Cynthia Rhodes, Kirstie Alley, Gene Simmons, Tom Selleck. Written and directed by Michael Crichton.
Wow.
Oh.
Wow.
Crichton getting in the game. All right. Good for him. All right. Thanks, Tony. That's a good one.
Yeah.
Those are good choices there. All right, let's keep going. We got a lot of stuff coming in through. And 708 said the movie is Runaway. Yes. All right, here we go. Let's start with 847 says the cook, the thief, his wife, and her lover.
Yeah, Peter Greenaway film. Now this is widely considered a pretty decent art house film. I personally gave up after the first 20 minutes. You know, it's,
but it's an art film.
It's an art film. So either you can't do it, or you can't.
It breaks the law or the rules on the game that couldn't stomach it. You're like, you're not coming back to watch it
just because you don't like it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's not one that you're going to rewatch over and over and over.
As I recall, it's pretty violent. So I don't think, you know, in its weird way. So I don't think you can. Yeah. It's not the one you want to watch again.
Let's go. 773. He's got Tiptoes with Matthew McConaughey and Gary Oldman as a dwarf is a pretty famous, insanely poorly conceived movie.
Okay. Here's the scenario. First of all, we did this movie and it was one of my favorites because all I did the whole night was to watch the audience watch the movie and the jaws dropped were, it was so.
What's it about?
Okay. So here's the premise.
and I should interject here and say, if you can, drop everything.
Yeah.
And just watch the trailer. And you're going to say to yourself, this cannot can't be real.
Correct. Matthew McConaughey is dating Kate Beckinsale. They are, I think, engaged to be married at the start of the film. What Kate Beckinsale doesn't know is that Matthew McConaughey has a twin, Gary Oldman, who is a little person.
Okay.
Gary Oldman plays said little person on his knees throughout the film with his arms sort of pulled back. And now you have to remember, he's playing the lead of this movie, but also in the movie are people like Peter Dinklage and Michael Anderson, famous little people actors playing little people, and yet the star of the movie is Gary Oldman.
It's all sorts of wrong.
Yeah, so they get married and have a baby, and turns out that the baby is a little person. Now, here's what, you know, we were talking about the central flaw thing. That is not possible scientifically because dwarfism is passed on through.
You did your research on this.
I've heard that this is true, that it's not passed on through the father's side. It's passed on through the mother's side. So it is technically impossible that their child was a little person.
You could just suspend a little bit disbelief.
Unless
movie,
Kate Beckinsale had little people
in
her. Then there's just all kinds of shenanigans ensue. Matthew McConaughey is devastated by this news, and it is supposed to be a serious drama.
I mean,
like a morality tale about...
They are
all super serious
on this film.
Yeah.
Everyone is just acting so hard.
It is amazing. And the lines in the movie, you go, wait, did somebody just say that? It's extraordinary. Noelle Krim, who directed it, pitched it to me, and I promptly said, well, that's not real. She said, no, go look it up. I said, okay.
773 just texted in, drop everything, watch the trailer.
No, it's incredible. Yeah.
My favorite moment in the trailer is when the voiceover says, and Gary Oldman in the role of a lifetime.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're like, that's one
I
way
should
to
also
put it.
Point out, this just layers upon layers. Peter Dinklage plays a French anarchist.
Oh, yeah.
Who is dating Patricia Arquette.
Oh, man. I mean, there are actors in this
film. Real actors. David Alan Grier is in it for no reason.
And what's amazing is everyone looked at the script and said,
Yeah. It also went to Sundance. Like, it was a Sundance thing. I think they really thought that it... And there's a rumor floating around somewhere that there's a longer director's cut that's good, quote unquote. You cannot convince me of that.
All right. Wow. My face hurts from smiling. All right. Let's keep going. 630 says the worst movie that they've ever seen was called Kid with C. Thomas Howell.
Okay.
And Tank with James Garner.
Huh.
So bad they're entertaining.
See, Thomas Howell was a big heartthrob in the 80s.
I'm assuming this is an 80s film.
Yeah. Kid, I don't know.
Because he was also in The Outsiders.
And Tank. Tank was one of those that, Tank is
dumb. I don't know
dumb.
Tank.
It's dumb. Okay. I think he's mad at the government.
See, Thomas Howell is mad at the government?
No, James Garner.
James Garner. Oh, James Garner.
And I think I'm trying to remember because it's an 80s film too. And
1984.
And he like gets a tank. And it becomes like, it's kind of like, we're having fun. Like, it's Garner, like, in a smiley kind of comedy kind of way.
Huh.
But he's, like, got a tank. I forgot how it plays out.
I don't know. They're just you describing it as very.
Kind of,
it's a tank out of water. It's a tank out of water film.
Story, yeah. When tanks were really in, we were all obsessed with tanks.
Sure.
See,
Thomas Howell was also in one of the best movies ever made, Soul Man.
Yeah, that is. How did that even get made? But
I don't
that
know.
Film
yeah.
is.
It's appalling.
Yes.
All right. 312-981-7200. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We got a lot more, and I want to go through them and get, because there's some really good stuff here, and I want to make sure we get them all on. And then we will pick this week's winner. We are justifying your love for the best, worst movies of all time. 312-981-7200. Stay with us. Rachel Klaff, Dina Marie Walters in studio tonight. They are part of the Neo Futurarium. It came from the Neo Futurarium, the stage readings of the worst plays of all time, or worst movies of all time. On stage at the Neo Futurarium, Foster and Ashland on Saturdays at 7:30. The next one coming up here, Face Off.
Can't wait.
Where Dina Marie gets to play Nicolas Cage.
Yes, I want to take his face off.
So, which was ad-libbed, apparently, that
yes,
line.
Yes, that was ad-libbed. So was the line when John Travolta says, when he talks about this ridiculous chin. That was also.
I like that we couldn't rely on the fact that the movie was called Face Off. Nicolas Cage actually had to say it.
Yeah, he has to say it.
Yeah.
But he says it in such a way.
Yeah.
Face.
The perfect way.
Right. Let's go to Brian. Brian, what do you got for the best, worst movie of all time?
Hi, everybody. Good evening.
Good evening.
Hello.
Hey, I just was telling your producer what you said. My wife and I watched this the other day. I couldn't believe Dirty Grandpa with Robert De Niro. And,
my.
That handsome young lad that my daughters and stepdaughters are crazy about.
Zac Efron.
Dirty Grandpa.
Mm-hmm. It's recent. It's really recent, right?
Yeah, like the last 2 years.
I've tried on several occasions to get my wife to go, let's watch Dirty Grandpa, and it never happened. So I guess she was right.
I couldn't believe how embarrassing it was for him. I mean, I was telling your guy, with The Godfather and Raging Bull and Casino, I mean, how he's lowered his standards. It was beyond belief.
That's been a long slide coming, though,
yeah,
man.
Meet the Fockers goes in that direction. Yeah.
Anger management.
It's really sad. Really sad. I guess he needed the paycheck or, I don't know, something going on with him. But
yeah.
My wife and I said, I can't. We couldn't believe what I said. We're watching this. We had to turn it off about halfway through. It was so bad.
Well, see, that kind of disqualifies it.
A little
because
bit.
The idea is you got to watch and be like, that was so bad, we got to watch it again.
We got to watch it again. Yeah.
So this one gets shut off halfway through. All right, thanks, Brian. Thanks, Brian. All right, let's keep going. Great movie. I'm not sure what it's about. Okay, 815. Worst movie, new National Lampoon Vacation.
Those are just unwatchable bad.
That's unwatchable.
Yeah,
that falls in the same
so.
Category as Dirty Grandpa. The idea of a remake where you're like, this is just a one-star movie.
Yeah. Just not any fun.
Right. All right. Let's get to some other ones here. Someone says, how about The Loved Ones, a twist on Undertakers and their business? I don't know that one.
I don't know that either.
We did figure out that Kid is a movie that C. Thomas Howell was in.
Yes. As well as Tank.
Yeah.
C. Thomas
he was
Howell
in both.
Was
in yeah,
both.
Somebody has a little bit of a C. Thomas Howell fetish.
Yeah. Well, always good, though, right? Always good. All right. Let's keep going here. Grease 2, we had that one.
That's really bad.
That was bad. And we spent a good amount of time on Grease 2 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, it was may have been off air, but yes, we did discuss the
badness
of Grease 2.
I remember, because we were like trying to figure out who played
The people who came back versus, yep.
708 says, best worst movie of all time, Fish Called Wanda. I don't agree with that one.
No, that's a wonderful movie.
Yeah, that's okay.
That's a classic.
630 also goes in that direction with Moana, the new Walt Disney movie.
I also disagree.
I can't. Yeah.
But 630 also says, have fallen asleep watching it twice, still haven't seen all of it, so that falls into that category
again. That's the personal distaste for our movie.
Right.
Plus that movie, oh man, so good.
All right, and then 708's got a good one, Batman and Robin with George Clooney.
Yep.
Oh, costumes were horrible with nipples showing.
The Schumacher era.
Yeah. Arnold Schwarzenegger and Uma Thurman as the villains.
Yes.
Alicia Silverstone as Batgirl.
Mm-hmm. A lot of ice cold puns.
A lot of
freezy
puns.
Oh my God.
That might be Schwarzenegger's worst role of all time. He's terrible in that movie. That's saying a lot, right?
I don't know, man. You've got Junior. Yeah. You've got Hercules in New York.
One. Junior's the one where he's pregnant, right?
Yes.
Junior's the one where he's pregnant. You've got twins. You've got, what's the one where he's trying to get the toy for his son? The heck is that movie called?
It's Christmas.
It's a Christmas movie.
Title.
Terrible.
Tom Arnold is in it, right?
Yeah. Really just a slew of terrible Schwarzenegger movies.
630 says Roller Boogie.
Oh, Jingle All the Way.
Jingle All the Way. There it is.
Roller Boogie.
We did that
one.
We talked about that. Hercules with Lou Ferrigno. At one point when Hercules throws the bear to the stars, it's quite obviously a teddy bear on a fishing line.
That sounds like one of our stage readings.
It really does. It really does. Right? It sounds like something we'd do.
And then I wanted to read the one. I want to get down to, because it was right at the beginning. I love this one. The movie is Waterworld.
Oh, right.
Yeah, which is a strong one.
Horrible.
And I need to find the explanation because it's so good.
I always threatened to stage Waterworld. What I really wanted to do was stage a bunch of water-themed movies all up and down the coast, like the beaches of Chicago.
Oh, yeah, right. There you
go. Like some of the, you know, like the park district buildings and stuff, and just do all water world, all water
I love
movies.
It. That would be a good one to do. Waterworld, yeah. Flaw,
right.
Once again.
And then like Poseidon Adventure, you could do all kinds of
all right, here's 224. 224 says, here's a funny story regarding seeing it with my ex-husband. We sat down in the dark. We missed the previews. Movie already started. We watched an hour, and I whispered how awful it was and how dark the coloring of all the screens were. He turned and looked at me laughing hard. Bonnie, you still have your sunglasses on. We laughed for a half hour. It did not improve Waterworld. Right there without sunglasses.
Love that.
That's pretty good. Waterworld has to, yeah.
This is terrible, and it's so dark.
Right. 773 says, it is Jingle All the Way.
Yep.
And the central message is that Christmas is really about buying toys.
Correct.
And then also Batman and Robin's best quality is that the only big screen adaptation of Adam West.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's the only one. The other ones have not. They were all kind of their own thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
773 says Barbarella.
Yep, that's awful. It's like good. That's a cult following bad movie with Jane Fonda.
Yeah,
I remember being oddly terrified by that movie because there's a scene where these creepy dolls. I don't remember. It's been a long time, but it was really creepy.
Creepy doll.
Yeah,
always about the creepy doll.
Yeah.
The last one tonight, 708, Tank Girl with Lori Perry.
Oh
gosh,
I've
only seen that movie once.
Here's the thing. It's one of the first, I think, anyway, live action movies that's really going for a comic strip. So it's got a lot of that, you know, stuff
so it's
that
trying something different, but not really.
Well, I mean, I don't mind it. I think it's kind of fun. I think movies that did it better are like Scott Pilgrim, you know, where you get that kind of, oh my gosh, this is really a comic strip come to life.
Right.
I liked it. Lori Petty didn't do a lot after that, but she's fun. I think it's fun. It's definitely silly.
The last one here, just and I feel like this is really good, and it's not going to probably make it to the list tonight. But 630 Rhinestone.
Rhinestone.
Oh my gosh.
Sylvester Stallone.
So good.
Oh man.
I feel like that one needs to, like, the cutoff has already happened, and that could be one for next week because that's so, he's a country singer in that, right?
He's a taxi driver who. Dolly Parton's
in it. She's a country singer.
She is in some kind of bet where she has to make him into a country singer by the end of the film. She does.
Because there's a weird thing with the hips and the jeans. Uh-huh. That's all I remember. Like hips and jeans.
The movie would like you to think that she succeeds. The movie would be wrong.
All right, we're giving away a pizza tonight, a Lou Malnati's gift certificate. Oh, Lou Malnati's is home of Chicago's best deep dish pizza. Find one of their 40-plus Chicagoland locations. Order online at loumalnati's.com. All right, Dina Marie Walters, Rachel Claff, it came from the Neo Futurarium. Go see Face Off this Saturday at the Neo Futurarium at Foster and Ashland.
So many plastic doves.
Oh, yeah, I bought a lot of feathers, a lot of doves.
Oh, this is going to be so good. All right, tonight, so we've got some, we break it down right here. Warrior and the Sorceress,
mm-hmm.
Ghost Dad, Batman and Robin,
yep,
or Tiptoes.
I mean, I'm biased, but Tiptoes, yeah. Man.
It sounds like, I haven't seen it, but what you explained,
yeah.
Tiptoes fits into
it's
the...
It's got that thing where you go, how is that possibly a movie? And then when you watch it, it far surpasses your expectations.
And it's earnest.
So earnest.
Yeah.
What do you think, Dean Marie?
Oh, I agree with Rachel. It is, it just completely encapsulates our aesthetic,
and it's all genuinely right. It's genuinely the number one, like, you want the pinnacle of took itself seriously.
Yeah,
boy, that's it.
All right, Tiptoes is the winner tonight.
Woo-hoo!
How about
Yay!
That? All right, Rachel, Dina, Marie, thanks so much for being here.
Oh,
and
thank you.
Good luck
fun.
With the good luck with Face Off. That's
thank
gonna be awesome.
So
I can't
much.
Wait to hear how it goes.
Can't
thank
wait.
You.